We didn't adopt children because they were or weren't of color, because they did or did not have a special need. We adopted children because they needed a home.
Well, hello, Heritage. Welcome to each of our campuses. Before I begin our teaching time for this weekend, I want to highlight something from last weekend. Do you remember last week we talked about you being a moving part in this thing we call Heritage, and that each part has to do its job? We said you were a tool in the hand of God, and that He wanted to use His toolbox to make a difference in the life of someone else. Let me share with you a story that Pastor Mitch from Bettendorf emailed me on Tuesday. He said, amazing weekend as we baptized 12 at our weekend services and 2 more at junior high static. Anyway, I wanted to share a story. I baptized a lady, her name was Wendy, and asked, how long have you been at Heritage? She said, 3 months. Well, how long have you been a follower of Jesus? About 2 months. So I baptized her. The next lady I baptized was named Carol. How long have you been at Heritage? 3 weeks. And how long have you been a follower of Jesus? About 3 weeks. Well, who brought you to church? And Carol says, the girl you just baptized, Wendy. See, that it works well that way. That night, he taught membership class, and Wendy and Carol were at the class, and another couple came with them. And he found out that the couple had been attending for nearly 4 months, and they were the ones who had invited Wendy, who invited Carol. And by the way, since Carol knew she was getting baptized, she invited her husband to come and watch her get baptized. He recommitted his life to Christ, and they just had a great week. So Bettendorf, way to go. West and Rock Island, let's give it up for what God's doing at Bettendorf. Yeah. I want you to take a look at a list that's going to be on the screen. Shanghai, Istanbul, Karachi, Mumbai, Moscow, Beijing, Sao Paulo, Tianjin, Guangzhou, and Delhi. Now, add 5 more cities to it. Seoul, Shenzhen, Jakarta, Tokyo, Mexico City, 15 cities right there. When you look at the population within the city limits of those cities, those are the 15 largest cities in the world. The population of them would be 152 million people. And that is a massive number. Now, I want you to look at another number. The number is 153 million. Do you know what that represents? That represents the number of orphans in the world. According to the United Nations, 153 million orphans worldwide, more than the population of the 15 largest cities in the world. Poverty, war, famine, natural disaster, AIDS, lack of health care, and just plain evil are the major factors that contribute to that. Do you remember the earthquake that rocked Haiti just 3 years ago this January? In that one event, 1 million orphans were created in just a couple of days. It's estimated that in sub-Saharan Africa, one parent dies every 14 seconds of AIDS. 153 million children. It is a staggering number. And we're going to talk about it today. Now, let me tell you some things that I'm guessing right now. I'm guessing that most of you have never really heard a sermon that is talking about adoption and about orphans. And some of you are thinking, it's about time the church needs to hear about this because you have a passion for adoption and you have a passion to do something about it. But I would guess that that's probably not the majority of the people who are listening today. Most of you are thinking, well, it's a need and it's a problem, but it's not my hot button. I mean, I'm too old, or I'm too poor, or I have too many kids. Some of you are thinking that you have 5 or 6 kids. Some of you are thinking that you just have one. Too many. You know, last night, 2 a.m, that baby has been crying for 1.5 hours. You think one's too many. Some of you are thinking, I don't have enough money. Some of you are thinking, I don't have enough time. Some of you just want to hear a sermon that hits a need that you have today to help you survive the week. Would you do yourself a favor? Would you put aside your assessment of the topic? And would you just ask the Holy Spirit to be your teacher today? Would you lean in a little bit and say, God, I need your help today to understand your heart. And I invite you to grab me and to motivate me and to challenge me if you choose to. Now, most of us won't end up adopting a child. But all of us need to explore the question, why should I care about this? And I will tell you the first answer, and that is because God cares. I don't know what you think about, but when I think about what God wants, I think it makes sense to want what God wants. And in James chapter 1, it says this, pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father means caring for orphans and widows in their distress and refusing to let the world corrupt you. God cares. He says that's pure religion. Deuteronomy 10:18 says about God, He ensures that orphans and widows receive justice. He shows love to the foreigners living among you and gives them food and clothing. God cares. Psalm 68, verses 5 and 6. He is the father to the fatherless, defender of widows. This is God whose dwelling is holy. God places the lonely in families. He sets the prisoners free and gives them joy, but He makes the rebellious live in a sun-scorched land. God cares about the fatherless. Isaiah 1:17. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Help the oppressed. Defend the cause of orphans. Fight for the right of widows. God cares. Now, in the Old Testament, when they used the word orphan, it literally meant either to be fatherless or to be lonely, to not be part of a family, to be estranged. It could be more than just someone who didn't have parents. It could include people who had no connection to anybody else in life, someone who was an outsider. But the principal meaning was of a child who had no parents. And in the New Testament, the Greek word translated orphan describes someone bereft of a father or a teacher or a guide. It could mean someone who had no one to guide them or coach them in life, but most often it meant a child who had no parents. And over again in Scripture, we see that God cares about the orphan, and He commands us to care as well. Pure religion, it says in James, is not just showing up in church. It's not just singing songs with your hand raised and, you know, really being into the worship music. It's not just giving up swearing or cleaning up your act. Pure and genuine religion in the sight of the Father means caring for orphans and widows in their distress. So, God cares. I think I should too. Second thing that I'd really never thought about much until I began to think about this sermon. Do you ever stop to think that in many ways Jesus was raised in an adoptive home? Stop and think about it. There's Mary. She's this virgin, and the angel appears to her and says, you're going to be pregnant by the power of the Holy Spirit, and don't be afraid, and this will be the Messiah. And Joseph discovers that Mary is pregnant, and he is a godly dude, and he doesn't want to be painted with the brush of saying, well, you and Mary, you know, were messing around and got caught. He wanted to maintain his righteousness, so he was just going to put Mary aside quietly. And God says to him, No, Joseph, this is from me. And Joseph, knowing the ridicule he would take in his community, knowing the questions that would be raised about his morals, stepped up to the plate and said, God, you can count on me, and Mary, you can count on me, and to this baby Jesus, you can count on me. And he raised this child as if Jesus were his own flesh and blood. He taught him scripture. He taught him how to be a carpenter. He taught him values. That's what Joseph did. He stepped in to be a father to this child who only had a heavenly father. Now, a third thing that many of us don't think about is related to this t-shirt I'm wearing. I'm guessing you probably noticed I was wearing a t-shirt that said adopted, and our greeters were wearing t-shirts that said adopted, and our ushers were wearing t-shirts that said adopted. Most of our staff are wearing t-shirts that said adopted. And I will tell you, the third reason that we ought to care about orphans is that we are adopted. I mean, at least I am, and I'm guessing most of you are too. And some of you say, no, John. I know my mother and father. I'm not adopted. I'm the birth child of my mom and dad because I saw the picture of mom in the hospital holding me. Well, first of all, I'd say, how can you tell that's you? You ever notice that six-hour baby? You know, grandma on one side, on dad's side says, looks just like our family. And grandma on mom's side says, looks just like our family. Everybody thinks that kid looks like them. So you can't tell from that little picture. The only reason you know for sure is your mom and dad said, you are our naturally born child. You have a birth certificate in their name. All that kind of stuff. You say, I know I'm naturally born. Maybe so. I'm the child of Arthur and Rachel Bray. I know that. I look just like my grandfather. I act just like my dad. So between those two things, there's good and bad. So what do I mean when I say I'm adopted? Well, I'm glad you asked. Let's look at the scripture in Ephesians chapter 1. Paul writes this. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, because we're united with Christ. So what Paul is writing here is to people who have responded to God, who have been followers of Christ, who have been united in Christ in salvation. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance, notice, to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear Son. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his Son and forgave our sins. He has showered his kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding. We were all spiritual orphans. We had no place to belong. We had no one to coach us. We had no one to guide us. We had no home. We were outsiders, and there was nothing that we had that we could offer to God that would demand that he do anything for us. We don't deserve salvation. We cannot earn salvation. There was no reason that God should want us, but he did. Because he's rich in mercy and love and grace, he reaches out to us to include us into his family. And because God adopted us, we get to experience his blessing. The Bible teaches us that we are not saved through works, through anything that we have done. We're not saved because we earn it or deserve it. It's because of God's grace. It's a free gift to us. But the cost of adoption was massive. It cost the life of Jesus. He paid the price on the cross so we wouldn't have to. He died so we could be born again. Now, you might be thinking, I'm stretching the point here, that this is talking about spiritual adoption, and today we're talking about literal orphans and what we can do to care for them. But I want to remind you that we are not saved simply so we can enjoy the benefits of being saved. If we truly understand the magnitude of what God has done for us, we will constantly and continually look for ways to turn around and extend blessing to others. Now, I often do that, or challenge you to do that, by telling you to invite your friends to church, by telling you to tell your friends about Jesus. And that is one way we extend the blessing. But what if God's concern is more than just for spiritual things? What if God's concern is more than just for eternal salvation? What if God is actually concerned about the poor? What if He's actually concerned about the hungry? What if He is actually concerned about the actual orphan? And I would suggest, as you read through Scripture, you discover again and again and again that He is. What if God said pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father means caring for orphans and widows in their distress? Oh, wait, he did say that. So as we think of our observations about this point, just a couple things I've already mentioned, but I want to make sure you don't miss them. First of all, it makes sense to care about what God cares about. It really does. Secondly, it makes sense to obey God's commands. He is God and you're not. He gets to tell you stuff. Now, I know that sometimes we don't like what we hear, but the fact of the matter is, God is God. He knows best, and He gets to tell you stuff. And when He tells you, it makes sense to obey His commands. And quite honestly, it makes sense for the adopted, you and me, to care for the orphan. Now, I want to add one more thought. And it has nothing to do with the Scripture that we have looked at so far. It's just a thought that seems to make an awful lot of sense to me when you ask the question, why should you care for an orphan child? Let me paint a picture for you. It's not an attractive picture, but it's real from time to time. Imagine that you are the parent of two young children. Your spouse was killed in a car accident 2 years ago. You are their only parent. You're struggling emotionally over the loss of your spouse. And you have two kids you're caring for. And you go to the doctor because you're not feeling quite right. And the doctor delivers you bad news. He says, you're dying. What do you do at that point? I mean, first of all, you say you're going to fight to do whatever you can to live because of your kids. You're the only parent. You've got to be there for them. But whatever treatments they use aren't working. And you fail physically. You get closer and closer to death. What are your thoughts dominated by in your last months? I tell you one thing you're thinking. You're thinking, who will love my kids like I do? That's one thing you're thinking. You're thinking, who can I get to take my kids and raise them as I would raise them? Raise them as their own. Raise them in love and teach them and lead them to faith and lead them towards Christ. Who will do that? And your thoughts are dominated by who would adopt my kid. Who would care for my kid? Am I wrong about that? Aren't you desperate for somebody to care for your kid like you do? Of course you are. But listen, do you suppose that young mom in Haiti, as she's laying under that crushed building, cared any less for her kids than you care for yours? And if she were trapped into the building up to her chest, but somehow had managed to hold her child out, her baby, and not have that baby die, and you were walking by, and in her last breath she cried out, help, help, won't you care? Would you just keep walking? Or would you stop? And would you do something? I'd say you'd do something. And if you would want someone to care for your child that way, and if you would stop and care for that orphan baby in Haiti or that orphan child you see when you're in Zambia, why not take that into a bigger picture and say, what do we do with 153 million orphans in the world? How do we bring this practically to bear into our lives? I want you to watch a video of some people in Heritage who figured out their answer to that question.
For me, working with the orphans in Burma has really enriched a fullness to our life that we didn't have before. As Neil and I came together with his kids and my kids, what the orphans provided us was our kids together, and the love of them just being so strong with them.
On our second trip over, we knew that we met with Dr. Morris and Sonia, and they just wanted to do something specific. And we all agreed that building a new orphanage would be that event that had to take part. So as a large family, both Heritage, Galilee Orphanage, and the UBS, we chose to start a new home for the children.
When I think about all the contributions that the people of Heritage have made, it's been unreal. From vitamins to Band-Aids to clothing, we've done clothing drives, from financial resources, things that we didn't realize they needed from the start, rice, funds for salaries for the administrative staff. So we've been able to provide that over the time and help sustain what they're doing over there.
I've been fostering since 1995, and I've had over 30 kids, and I've seen lots of things happen with the kids and that they've grown and changed and stuff. But the main thing is that what I'm doing and what I pray other families will do at Heritage is that they will realize it's a ministry to plant seeds for the Lord Jesus. It's an opportunity that these kids are going to cross your path, and you're going to have the opportunity to love on them, care for them in their time of need, being the Good Samaritan that we're supposed to be. And that's what gets planted in them and what Jesus can bring forth later in the future. And you may not always see what's going to come forth from these children, but rest assured, what the Lord does is never in vain, and it will produce something. And that's what I believe fostering is all about. It's taking children, caring for them, planting seeds in them, showing them Jesus Christ. And you may get to adopt some, and they may continue to be in your family, but some of them will move on, and you won't know exactly what goes on with them. But I guarantee what you've planted will make a great difference in the kingdom of God.
The whole adoption process has given us an opportunity to trust in God. He's created that opportunity for us to say, yes, we're going to trust in you. And during this time, there's been so many roadblocks and so many obstacles that's all we could do is say, God, this is your plan, and we don't know how it's going to work, but we're putting our faith and our trust in you, and we're going to see it through.
I guess I would encourage people just to really just trust and feel what they're supposed to be doing and listen to God, because I know that's outside of a lot of people's comfort zone, but we're called to take care of our orphans, and it's a pretty amazing feeling when you're in the shoes, and it's amazing to see the transformation in a child when you're able to give them the love.
Thanks. The main reason why we wanted to adopt, one, because God led us to that, and the Holy Spirit kind of spoke to us, but it's kind of the thing that progressively happened. We were put into places with the previous church we were at had a lot of people that had adopted at that church, and we were excited for them, but never really were like, that's something we want to do. But then we, as time kind of progressed, as we were here, different things happened in life. We just kind of started to become more of a thing that God was saying, yeah, I want you to do this. God kind of brought Amber and I both into that place kind of at the same time, which is pretty unique for us. A lot of times one of us has an idea and the other one kind of comes along to it and figures that out. But Amber kind of suggested it, and I was really at the same spot saying, yeah, let's do this.
And once we just started looking into it, we realized how much it was God's heart. Like, He is the Father to the fatherless, and He adopts us as His children. And we knew that that was God's clear next step for our life.
Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me.
represents a little more than half of the families in Heritage that have adopted or fostered kids today. That's what they have done. The question is, what do we do? You're sitting here today, and you have an obedience decision to make. What can you do? Let me suggest four or five things. First of all, you can give money for global orphan care. Our faith promise giving, a portion of our mission giving, goes to help support global orphan care in places like China and Burma and Zambia and Nepal, where ministry partners of ours are already caring for orphans. As you give to our faith promise giving, we can continue to bless these kids with essential things like housing and food and clothing and education and faith instruction. These are kids who have nothing except for the people of God to step forward into their lives. And since faith promise is an agreement between you and God, you say, God, this is what I'm sensing. You're nudging me to give, and I'm believing you to provide it for me. You don't have any risk. You can just say, I'm going to make the promise. And don't you suppose that the God whose heart is for orphans might come through on that and provide you the resources that you can just pass on? This is probably the easiest step of obedience here to take. Second thing I would suggest you is you consider foster care. There are over 400,000 children in the foster care system in America today. About 25,000 of these kids age out of foster care every year. 45% of those kids don't have a high school diploma. Their life has been so chaotic and their foster care has been so uncertain. With little guidance or assistance to them, they suddenly have to be responsible for finding their own housing and clothing and food. Many of them end up either in a life of crime or victims of crime. But what if? What if the people of God stepped into the foster care system? What if the people of God nurtured these children? What if they began to give them a foundation in faith and a foundation of God's Word? What if you carefully examined your life and seriously spent time in prayer to see if God would want you to take the ministry step of foster care? Now, I will tell you, this isn't easy. In fact, if giving is the easiest thing, probably fostering a child is the hardest thing. These kids come from challenging backgrounds, but I'm believing that God is putting His finger into the life of some people right now and stirring their hearts to say, you could do this. You could do this. Here's a third thing to consider. Adoption. You saw people on the screen who have done just that. Some of them adopted out of fostering kids. Some of them are adopting overseas. Eric and Susan Mills. Eric is our outreach pastor. He and Susan have completed adoption recently of their beautiful little daughter, Hope, from China. Steve and Amber are working towards an adoption of a daughter, a little girl from Ethiopia. Others in the church have adopted from overseas. Some have adopted here from the United States. And we think it would be incredible if over the next 5 years, 100 families from Heritage said, we will commit ourselves to adopting. Now, I will tell you, if one is the easiest and one is the hardest, this is the most expensive. It can cost $30,000, $35,000, $40,000 to adopt a child from overseas. And some of you right now sit there and think, I don't know how to pay for that. Let me tell you, one of the things we do at Heritage is partner with an organization we call Life Song for Orphans. They provide matching grants up to a certain amount because of contributions we make, and they raise money elsewhere. And so people in the adoption process through Heritage can apply for a grant to help them on that journey. Now, adoption might not be the call of God on your heart, but I know something you could do. You could support other people who adopt. It costs a lot of money to adopt a child. What if you came alongside someone who was adopting and you didn't give it through the church? You didn't give it through some organization. You just stepped up to them and say, God's been nudging me. Here's a check for $500. Or here's a check for $1,000. Or some of you are a little older in life and more established in life and financially you're secure. You could step up to somebody and say, here's a check for $10,000. And what a difference that would make in the life of a child. Here's a fifth thing. Be truly pro-life. Care for children after they're born, too. We just came through a bruising election here in America. And one of the key issues that many people used in deciding on their candidate was whether that candidate was pro-life or not. But it's not just enough to protect the life of the unborn. It's essential that we do that. But it's also essential biblically that we care for the life of a child after they've been born. There are children in homeless shelters who need our care. There are children on the streets or in homes where faith values are not found who we can minister through our church ministries and through ministries we partner with like Youth Hope and Child Evangelism Fellowship. Or what if you came alongside a family you know who's struggling with poverty and you could just help? What if you came alongside a family you know whose kids, you know, you get ready to come to church and they're outdoors playing? And what if you went and said, hey, would you like a few hours off? I'll take your kids to church. Do you know my wife today is a product of that kind of invitation? She was 5 years old, 6 years old, and a woman named Dorothy stopped by and said to her mom, can I take your kids to church? And they started going to a little Wesleyan church of 50 people in the eastern edge of Indiana. And Patty's life was transformed because somebody cared enough to care and stop. What if you did that? You can make a difference. Now here's what I'm guessing. I'm guessing there are people listening to this today who are feeling a nudging from God, a stirring from God. There are some of you who are feeling a rising passion to step up and change the world. There are some of you who say, adoption, foster care, something. I don't know what it is, but God's stirring me and I need to know more about it. In your bulletin today, there's an insert. Talks about an event we're having next Saturday night, December 1st. It's in Rock Island. It's from 6:30 to 8. You can check off different interest issues on the back and put that in the offering bucket as it goes by today. That's one way to say, I want to know more. And you can do that. Now there's some of you whose hearts are not beating fast with anticipation. I mean, you're listening to this and you go, well, I don't know, John, okay, but I don't know that adoption is for me. But you know what is for you? Obedience. And pure religion is to care for the widows and the orphans in their distress. And you need to just step up and say, I'm going to do something. I'm going to do something. I'll give if nothing less. I'll step alongside of somebody who's adopting. I'll contact our global outreach office and find out who they know who's adopting in the church. And I'll step alongside them. And I've been a pastor long enough to know that there's some of you who are probably dismissing this teaching out of hand. You're just saying, no, that may be for somebody else, but not for me. And I want to ask you why you resist. The last half of that verse from James 1:27 challenges you to refuse to let the world corrupt you or to keep yourself unpolluted by the world. We've been looking at the first part of the verse today, about adopting, about caring for orphans in their distress. But that part that talks about refusing to let the world corrupt you, that has something to do with this as well. We live in a consumer-oriented world. I don't know that there's a weekend that's more evident than this weekend we're in right now. Did any of you go out Thursday night or Friday morning? I mean, I never do that Friday morning, Black Friday, we'll get up at 3 in the morning. But I thought, you know, some stores are open at 8 on Thursday night and we're trying to buy presents for grandkids. And so maybe we'll go to Toys R Us. And we pulled up there about 20 minutes to 8. There were 2,000 people in line. I said, I have enough money not to wait in that line. And then I went over to Target because they were going to open at 9. There were at least 1,000 people in line at Target. I thought, I have enough money not to wait in that line. The next store we wanted to go to didn't open till 10, and it was only 8 o'clock by now, and I said, I'm going home. And I went home and had a turkey sandwich and went to bed. But there are some of us, all of us, are inundated by TV commercials. We just have to have... There are things we have to buy that we didn't even know existed until last week. We saw them on a commercial. The malls are slammed because we have to have that thing. What if we didn't? What if we didn't have to spend as much? What if we didn't buy as much? Not just at Christmas, but what if we didn't do that all year round? What if we refused to buy into the value system of the world that says your life is measured by what you have instead of by what you give? By what you collect and amass instead of how you serve? What if we give? What if we care? The so what of this sermon is really simple. I don't know what it is for you. I really don't. I'm not entirely sure everything it is for me. But I'm wondering if you'll join me in making a commitment. If you'll join me in saying, I will choose to honestly seek God's next step of obedience for me. And when He shows it to me, I'll take it. Now we're going to pray. What I'd like to do is I'd like to pray for families in the church who are in the process of adopting, or who have adopted, or who maybe even as you've listened to this teaching have been stirred in adoption or foster care, and you say, I don't know exactly what it means, but God's moving on my heart and I don't know exactly what to do with it except to say, God, if you'll keep stirring, I'll keep following. What I'd like you to do is wherever you are in the room, if you've adopted or are fostering or are considering it, praying about it, I'd just like you to stand right where you are and we want to pray for you. Go ahead. If you're near somebody, why don't you just reach out your hand towards them and join me in prayer as we pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you that through your sacrifice, we have the privilege of spiritual adoption. And I would simply pray for these who are standing. Thank you for those who have done the hard work of making it through the whole process. Thank you for those who are at the beginning, who don't even know everything about it, but just say, God's stirring in me, and I'm moving that direction. Lord, we would pray your blessing on them. We would pray your blessing on their children. And I would pray for your church. I would pray that we would live in such a way that we would be able to have your blessing because we have joined you in true religion, caring for the widow and the orphan in their distress. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. May I have a seat.